This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I guess everybody by now knows what President Joe Biden did last evening. So I thought it was important that I read Joe Biden, the president's statement, as his reasoning behind the pardoning of his son. And he says, "Today I signed a pardon for my son, Hunter. From the day I took office, I said I would not interfere with the Justice Department's decision-making, and I kept my word, even as I watched my son being selectively and unfairly prosecuted. Without aggravating factors like use in a crime, multiple purchases, or buying a weapon as a straw purchaser, people are almost never brought to trial on felony charges solely for how they filled out a gun form. Those who were late paying their taxes because of serious addictions, but paid them back subsequently with interest and penalties, are typically given non-criminal resolutions. It is clear that Hunter was treated differently. The charges in his cases came about only after several of my political opponents in Congress instigated them to attack me and oppose my election. Then a carefully negotiated plea deal, agreed to by the Department of Justice, unraveled in the courtroom, with a number of my political opponents in Congress taking credit for bringing political pressure on the process. Had the plea deal held, it would have been a fair, reasonable resolution of Hunter's cases. No reasonable person who looks at the facts of Hunter's cases can reach any other conclusion than Hunter was singled out only because he is my son, and that is wrong. There has been an effort to break Hunter, who has been 5.5 years sober, even in the face of unrelenting attacks and selective prosecution. In trying to break Hunter, they've tried to break me. And there's no reason to believe it will stop here. Enough is enough. For my entire career, I have followed a simple principle. Just tell the American people the truth, they'll be fair-minded. Here's the truth. I believe in the justice system, but as I have wrestled with this, I also believe raw politics has infected this process, and it led to a miscarriage of justice. And once I made this decision this weekend, there was no sense in delaying it further. I hope Americans will understand why a father and a president would come to this decision." That was his comments to the citizens of the United States of America. His executive grant of clemency reads as follows. "Joseph R. Biden, Jr., President of the United States of America, to all whom these presents shall come, greeting. Be it known that this day, I, Joseph R. Biden, Jr., President of the United States, pursuant to my powers under Article 2, Section 2, Clause 1 of the Constitution, have granted unto Robert Hunter Biden a full and unconditional pardon for those offenses against the United States which he has committed or may have committed or taken part in during the period from January 1, 2014 through December 1, 2024, including but not limited to all offenses charged or prosecuted, including any that have resulted in convictions by Special Counsel David C. Weiss in docket number whatever in the United States District Court for the District of Delaware and docket number whatever in the United States District Court for the Central District of California. In testimony whereof, I have hereunto signed my name and caused a pardon to be recorded with the Department of Justice, done at the City of Washington this first day of December in the year of our Lord, 2024, and of the independence of the United States, the 249th. And there it is. In spite of at least 10 different occasions where President Joe Biden said that he had no intention to pardon his son, he was repeatedly asked, and his folks at the White House briefing, Corinne Jean-Pierre, even began to start mocking reporters for asking the question, as the flavor of the allegations and ultimate trial and the pleading of guilty and the finding of guilty in these charges in multiple courts across this country, continued to tell the public, you, me, and everyone else, that he had no intention of pardoning his son. Then the election, well, you know, he was removed from the Democratic ticket, and then the election was had, and obviously whatever understanding that he had with Kamala Harris can't come to fruition because she didn't win. Donald Trump gets elected, and now we have a problem. And the problem is, you know, everybody knew what the eventuality of this was going to be. It was no big surprise. Everyone recognized that he was lying, and that if the situation turned out the way that he did, that he was going to be compelled to do something. But he, even after the election, they continued to say they would not pardon his son. So where are we at this point in time? It's very interesting. You know, while he was the candidate and he makes these comments of the rule of law and that no one's above the law and that he will not pardon his son, he compelled all of his Democrat sycophants, a lot of whom are sitting behind desks in major media markets across this country, pontificating about the moral clarity of this individual, the stark contrast between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, the fact that he believed in the rule of law and that the Democratic Party was all about the rule of law, and that Joe Biden really, deep down in his heart of hearts, did not believe that this private relief that he could avail himself of by being the president for his own family, that he couldn't come to grips with doing that because of that moral, that very moral clarity, and that he did not believe that he had the right to do it, even though he was staring the law in its face that granted him that authority to do so. He said, in many of the same folks were saying that basically what he was saying is that he would sacrifice the future of his son's life. Think about all that has been said. I wonder what these people are going to say this morning. I was kind of flipping through the channels, hoping that some of them would appear this morning, trying to explain away all of the incredible words that they had to say about the moral clarity of this individual, about the sacrifices that he was going to make, understanding that he was not going to put himself ahead of the country, that he would not put his family ahead of the country or the rule of law. It just would not happen. He has stood on principle his entire career, and this was not going to happen. And everyone took it hook, line, and sinker, went off and running, and talked about how this man, as a result of that moment, from the first day that he made that comment, was going to be one of the most consequential presidents in the history of our country. In fact, some even listed and said he would be the eighth most consequential president in the history of the country. And it went on, and it went on, and it went on, talking about the stark contrast. Well, you know what's very interesting about this letter, as I read it probably five or six times last evening and this morning, is a lot of what the Democrats have said about Donald Trump as to his view of the justice system and selective prosecution and what he has complained of, that it's amazing that not unlike the election of Kamala Harris to be president and the positions of Donald Trump. You will recall many weeks ago, right before the election, I said, how are we breaking this country apart? It's almost as if we're moving closer and closer together on these issues. It was amazing that Kamala Harris was actually embracing stricter border enforcement, reestablishing detention centers, questioning people about asylum. And on the issue of EVs and alternative energy, now we're for fracking. Before, absolutely not. That was the sin of all sins. And it was amazing how everything came together. Well, this is the culmination of all of that, right? President Joe Biden embraced the Donald Trump dialogue. And it said now that his Department of Justice was guilty of selective prosecution. And that his Department of Justice caused there to be an unfair treatment of his son. And that his Department of Justice fell prey to Republican political pressure, which compelled them to do what they did. This was the same man that had promised an independent Department of Justice and bragged for years about how they have accomplished same. It was one of the primary reasons for the appointment of Merrick Garland, that he was going to restore the independence of the Department of Justice in the aftermath of those horrible years of Donald Trump in his first term. And it's amazing how in a short period of time, and of course the indictment and pleading of guilty and conviction of his son, that now this same Department of Justice that he bragged about for so long now falls into the same category as has been articulated by Donald Trump. And this is where we find ourselves. But is this really about saving Hunter Biden? Or is this more about saving his own skin? It will be interesting to see whether or not there's going to be any continuation into the looking of the $27 million that the Biden family received from foreign countries, the gift of automobiles, the gift of diamonds, the fact that Joe Biden said he never met with any of Hunter's clients. He really didn't know what Hunter was doing. They never had conversations or otherwise. Whether or not any of that is going to continue to be investigated. And you will remember that Joe Biden said about that, not only that he would never pardon his son, that he didn't know about any of these other things, right? And these $27 million in payments just so happened to be, yeah, you got it, within that same time period of the pardon, between 2014 and 2019. So we have absolved Hunter from not registering as a foreign agent. We have allowed him to get off for the receipt of $27 million in payments from foreign sources and his business associates. We've now allowed him to be able to not be subjected to any of this coming out in the future about the relationship between him, them, and his father. In spite of the fact of Joe Biden saying he didn't know about any of this, we now know that there were phone calls. We now know that there were emails. We now know that there were dinners where Joe Biden sat up. And there's a great article, actually, by both James Lynch and Jonathan Turley outlining all of this that we actually have come to know about Joe Biden and his lies. And it's been one lie after the next, after the next. But the interesting thing here is that Joe Biden specifically talks about this plea deal. And that is the really when I read that, I was like, what are we talking about? It wasn't members of Congress that blew up the plea deal. It was a federal judge. It was a federal judge who basically asked the question, what is this? Wasn't political pressure, as was pointed out by the New York Times author David Barrett in an article, where he said the judge scuppered Hunter Biden's plea deal, not political pressure. The judge simply asked about the construction of this plea deal for Hunter Biden and this agreement. And when she did, they could not come up with a rational explanation as to what it was that they were actually trying to do, because they knew that it violated, as he points out in his article, one of the basic tenets of federal guilty pleas, that any agreement not have any other side deals that are going on. And it was just this basic questioning from the judge that, as pointed out in the article, it embarrassed the prosecutors as well as the defense lawyers who negotiated. They didn't know what to do with it. They thought the fix was in. Everything was copacetic, hunky-dory. It was going to go through as a matter of course. This is the president's son, for Christ's sake. And no questions would be asked. Well, when that fell apart, not because of, as the president points out, political pressure, simply a federal judge appointed for life asking a couple of questions and asking for an explanation of what is it that we trying to really accomplish here. And we can only imagine the look on their face, right? Because they weren't able to explain it. And it fell by the wayside. And that's when the House of Cards tumbled. Not because of Republican members of Congress, but because of a federal judge, an independent federal judge, that simply asked a few questions. And judicial pundits on both sides said, surprisingly, they were of the same thought, that these were legitimate questions. These weren't really questions out of the park, out of the realm. These were legitimate questions because they ran counter to the manner in which the Department of Justice typically handled these kinds of deals. So on the one hand, he's talking about this selective prosecution. On the other hand, he fails to mention any of the insider dealing that was going on in trying to get favorable treatment. Oh, and by the way, none of this comes to really the forefront by anything that Congress did, right? No. There were a couple of these whistleblower people, right, that had worked on this case for a long time. Actually, the case actually started while Trump was in president, but it had never been revealed that the case was underway, which is typically how it works in the DOJ. They don't talk about it. They're lurking in the shadows. They're going about piecing this thing together, following the evidence. That's what they did. But when it got revealed, all of a sudden there started to be some interesting twists and turns and this and explanations and three steps back, one step forward. So much deflection, so much evasion, that it wasn't until there was a counterattack, otherwise known as whistleblowers, who said, you may want to know what's going on because they're trying to steer this investigation in a way, they're trying to diminish the investigation, they're trying to handcuff us as it relates to documents that we have requested, information that we are looking for, to either discount or validate our suspicions based on what we've uncovered thus far. Which is, my estimation, pretty much how these investigations go all the time. I've actually worked with them in so doing in my career. on many task forces, multi-state investigations, multi-jurisdiction, multinational insurance investigation. That's how it works. But all of a sudden, because it is the president's son, what this president has decided to do is throw his own party under the bus, throw his independent Department of Justice under the bus, and try to blame everybody else for the failures of his son, who walked into a court on some of these charges and pled guilty and admitted to knowing that he did what they said that he did, and he was wrong. This president would have you believe that this has happened to no one else. Hunter's the only one. And that's why it's selective prosecution. Because he's the only one that's ever faced the reach of the federal government, of the federal criminal prosecution, of the U.S. Attorney's Office for non-payment of taxes. The only one. And for that reason is why he feels compelled to take the action that he did. I really want to hear from you what your thoughts are. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll go to the lines when we come back. This is Newell on WWL.